Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to Red Men TV. It's the build-up show. It's Liverpool versus Bayern Munich, Champions League. What?
Sounds good, that, doesn't it?
It does sound really, really good. The man you hear and see, if you're watching the video version, there is Mr. Chris Pajak, James Redman and Chris Williams joining me for this as well. But yes, Chris, hi.
Hi, mate.
Good?
I am.
Champions League?
I can't wait, mate.
I've almost forgotten that it's a thing, you know, I've gotten used to it not being in my life now. We've been so focused on the league that it's like, oh, hello, it's the last 16 of the Champions League against a massive team.
Bosh. I know, and you know what, we've been starting games and doing build-up shows for the likes of Leicester and West Ham going to the biggest game of the season. I'm not sure this is.
No.
Which is mad, isn't it? Because it's Bayern Munich in the last 16 of the Champions League, and yet it's a welcome break from the pressures of the Premier League, to be honest with you, and Leicester at home, which is mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think we can play with a little bit of freedom against Bayern Munich. I'm relishing it. I can't wait to get to the ground and show my support for the lads because, you know, this Champions League campaign's been a bit up and down, hasn't it? You know, we've been absolutely terrible away from home, but at Anfield, I think it's been nearly 29 times, something like that, since we've been beaten in European competition. So we've been making it a bit of a fortress, just like the Premier League. And I can't wait to see what Bayern Munich turn up, and more importantly, what Liverpool turn up.
I mean, James, this is what it's about, isn't it? You know, I've talked about this a few times recently. A year ago, we played Porto away, and we were all kind of bricking ourselves because we talked Porto up massively. It's a year on, having made the final, and we're now in a league title race, and we're all larger, I think, looking at Bayern Munich, and not like arrogantly, not cockily or whatever, but with actual excitement, like this is going to be a great game. Yeah. We've got every chance of coming out on top.
This is why you want to be in the Champions League. You want to face the big teams, and you know, if you'd asked me personally in the group stage, oh, who do you want when you go into the? I wouldn't have asked for the team like Porto, but you know. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have asked for a team like that again because I want to face the best teams and I want to make memories. And, you know, obviously the league is the main priority. All the more, this is more fun for Liverpool fans. You know, it's not as much stressful. Whereas last season, like you said, for Porto, that was just stress because we're not facing a world-class team. So if you lose, it's crap, essentially.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's
exactly what it is. But when you face Bayern Munich, you get to see your team go against one of the best teams in the world and see how they can, how much progression they've truly shown and where they, you know, rank when it comes to facing other belt of teams.
I know. I mean, because I completely agree with that. We've missed a generation of top European sides by not being in this competition, you know, and we've started to see more and more than we've fared, you know, up and down a bit of times. But, you know, Bayern Munich are one of them. There's just something so... it's a proper prestige tie.
Yeah, it is. So if you're going to lump Bayern Munich into a pot with other teams, it would be Real Madrid and Barcelona, I think. And then outside of that, you've got everybody else.
Yeah.
But they're not the force they once were. So Liverpool probably face them at a good time. Maybe would have been better 2 months ago, but... Yeah, you're right. This time last year, I mean, we were all scared about Porto, but that was the start of what we went on to see. We blew Porto away, and then that was it then, wasn't it? We were all away to Kiev.
Why'd you say that it's not a good time? I think Liverpool fans in general will understand that there's probably a little bit of ageing in that squad, but they've still got good youngsters coming through, haven't they?
Oh, yeah, they have. So if we would have gone back to November time, September, November, that's when they hit their rut. They drew against their local rivals Augsburg in the derby, and then they lost twice back-to-back against Hertha Berlin and Borussia Mönchengladbach. That would have been a great time because there was a lot of pressure. There was some discontent in the squad. Kovac was getting it from all angles in the press. But they went on a bit of a run after that, and they've only lost once since then. And they are in the ascendancy, 2 points behind, but they played a game more. So they're definitely in an ascendancy where 2 months ago Liverpool were in their own ascendancy, and off the back of the Leicester and West Ham game, obviously the performance against Bournemouth, you'd hope has pushed Liverpool back.
You've got to hope in some regards, though, that that plays into our hands. We talk about Bayern all the time. The league has been a procession so many times for them. That can work both ways, because sometimes you can say, well, if you're not, like PSG, works against PSG often, doesn't it? It'd be interesting because they can't necessarily preface one over the other. You know, it's an embarrassment for Bayern not to win the league. So they've got, you know, they've very much got to keep an eye on both the same ways we have. So it's not like they can come into this game going, oh, well, all right, all of our eggs are going in the Champions League basket. So it's an exciting one for me. And, well, Chris, while we've got you, of course, you're our Bundesliga expert as much as anyone who ever comes into this building, no. Certainly. They had a bit of a wobble against Augsburg again, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Friday night.
Yeah, and that's a derby, so... You know, you take any derby game, Liverpool, Everton, Man City, Man United, there's always going to be a little bit of a maybe off form. Mm-hmm. You know, you just go on the night. But yeah, they leaked a goal inside of 13 seconds and it was a poor goal. So anything like that tomorrow night, I think, will work against them. But they clawed it back. They went behind again, 2-1 behind, and then won 3-2. But yeah, they're very good at going forward, not particularly good at the back at the moment. Hummels has shown his age. He's never been blessed with speed, but... he's definitely shown his age now. But you're quite right. They have got exciting forwards. So Kingsley Coman should be fit. Serge Gnabry, they've got Leon Goretzka playing there. James Rodriguez, of course, Thiago. And then you've got the wing-backs as well, Alaba and Kimmich, who can play well. But it's just they're not as rigid as they were at the back at one point. And I think that's a mixture of Hummels and Boateng not playing particularly well together. Sula's very good. But obviously, like Virgil van Dijk, he can't do everything on his own. He needs someone next to him of similar quality.
Yeah, well, his name was dropped there, Chris. We may as well talk about it. No Virgil van Dijk for this one. I think it's the one thing that's been keeping us probably awake at night about this game. I agree with all the sentiments. I think it is going to be fun. I'm very much excited for this game. But it would be a touch blasé of us to think that everything is going to go our way in the absence of van Dijk. That's the difference in levels between him and everything else we've got available to
him. It is, and listen, I think, you know, the injury to Dejan, I think Klopp's come out and said he's not going to be fit for start of the game. He might make the bench. If he doesn't, you might see someone like a Keanu Hoover make the squad as well. It's going to be difficult for us. You know, Matip's the only recognised centre-half that's going to be fit for the game. You'd expect probably Fabinho, having played it a couple of times already, to slot in ahead of him, but it's ahead of him. That the worry is for me is because Fabinho's really made that centre midfield position his own over the last couple of months, hasn't he? And, you know, I don't think the players ahead of them are bad. I think Henderson, Wijnaldum and Keita could play there and have a good game. But I think Fabinho takes that midfield up a level. So not only is your defence weakened by Virgil van Dijk, but your midfield's weakened as well, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And James, that's the issue we've got. We're capable. God, you know, it's, oh dear, we've got to put Fabinho in as our fifth choice centre-half. There's worse situations to be in. I remember, you know, you're probably too young, but I remember Sotiris Kyriakos.
I didn't know how to say his name.
But Chris is right. You really want to come into these games with your best foot forward kind of thing, and it will be a loss losing Fabinho from that midfield. Now it's not a catastrophic one because Jordan Henderson's absolutely capable. Gini Wijnaldum's capable. And we're just starting to see Keita coming up against the Bundesliga team. Yeah, I think bodes well in that regard. Yeah. So we're certainly fine. But I think Chris has probably got a point there. It would be lovely to see Fabinho really go in there and dominate that midfield.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's just one of those things. You can't always have what you want. And in these situations, you have got to kind of improvise and, you know, truly go into your squad and see what they can do. Fabinho's done a solid job at the back before. That was with Van Dijk. But, you know, Matip is a good centre-half. Again, he's been in the Bundesliga before as well. So I think... Even though it's not the best case scenario, you know, especially with Chris saying about how they're on form now as well, and it would have been best to face them like 2 months ago, I think...
Wasn't an option.
Yeah, exactly. That's, yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's now that we have to worry about, and we've got to focus on that. I think our back line can still hold them off at least. You know, it's still good enough to not concede 3 goals, 4 goals, whatever. It's good enough to still get a clean sheet. It's good enough to only concede 1 goal. And we've certainly still got the attack to outscore them, which is very important in this game.
The interesting thing for me is Klopp's got a couple of ways that he can work it. Now, I think back to the Crystal Palace game in the league when Shaqiri was taken out of the team and Mane was put over on that right-hand side. And I felt that at the time Mane was put over there to help James Milner, who was playing right back, because he works a little bit harder. Now, he could do something like that, where you make it a little bit more industrious ahead of them to help the defence out a little bit. Or you could do what he did against Bournemouth, where I think Klopp then opted for Salah on the right-hand side to pin their fullback and stop those overlaps. And so it's like, do you attack more to help the defence out, or do you defend a little bit deeper? You know what I mean? And I've got a feeling that because it's a big Champions League game, I think Klopp just goes, trouble them, and that will be our first line of defence.
I completely agree on that, because I think there's very much a... It's all well and good providing solidity for the defence, but the defence is makeshift. The defence can make it... You know, you can pack the midfield, you can go 4-2-3-1, you can put 2 holding mids in front if we want, and we can look to be more tight. And it only takes Fabinho to be slightly inexperienced, lose sight of Lewandowski, and then you're having to turn a fixture around. I agree. I think the fact that we've gone back to 4-3-3 in the last couple of weeks... was a great hint of how we're likely to approach.
For not just this one, but, you know, Man United, yeah, and Bayern Munich again, and yeah, Everton on the horizon, I think that's the way that he'll look to play each of them. And I think when you look at Bayern Munich and the way that they like to play football, they like those overlaps with the wing back and the wingers cutting inside, don't they? And, you know, they're all about crossing it into Lewandowski. We know his qualities. That's going to be an area where you'd think Virgil van Dijk could eat that up all day, but will Fabinho and will Matip be able to deal with that? Well, let's make sure that those fullbacks don't have it as easy going forward, and let's pin them back a little bit. That's how I think Klopp will approach it anyway.
What about you, Chris? 4-3-3?
Yeah, it would be 4-3-3 for me. And that's purely based on how we did last season in the Champions League with a 4-3-3. It, yeah, you know, put a wind up Porto. It outdid Manchester City. It tore apart Roma in the first leg. Yeah. And it would have done wonders in the final had there not been an injury to Salah. So yeah, I think whilst he's been gone on to 4-2-3-1, for the Premier League, that's because teams like to sit deep against Liverpool because they know what they can do. Generally, if you're playing in the Champions League, you're playing a higher class of opponent who aren't really bothered what you can do. It's about what we can do to you. Yeah. And Bayern will know, and Niko Kovac will know how good Liverpool are going forward. He'll know how good Klopp is tactically. But he'll also go, well, I've got Koeman, I've got Gnabry, I've got Goretzka, I've got Thiago, I've got Kimmich, I've got Alaba. You know, I've got Lewandowski in the middle. I don't need to worry about Liverpool. Liverpool need to worry about
me. How do Liverpool deal with Goretzka? Because he's a man in form at the moment, isn't he? You know, a true box-to-box midfielder who's scoring goals over the last few weeks. So how do you think Liverpool will deal with his threats?
Well, obviously they won't man-to-man mark him, but the whole pressing element's going to have to be ready to, you know, when they press on him or those around him, they're going to have to make sure that he's not left on his own. If we look at the goal Crystal Palace scored at Anfield, where it was just a little bit of the press wasn't quite right, and they broke and scored a fantastic goal. And Bayern have got the capability to do that. So everybody's got to be on the game. And you mentioned earlier, you know, we've got Fabinho in the centre back. If he makes a little mistake, if that mistake gives someone like Goretzka half a yard, that'll soon get turned into 2-3. But it's going to be a fascinating game, this, and I don't think it's going to be good for anyone's heart either. But no matter what happens tomorrow night, the second leg can be exactly the same.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if it's 3-3, because it could be 3-3 over there. So
yeah. I think the hope is, and I say this is a madly counterintuitive, but I want them to look at us and go, okay, no Van Dijk, here's our best chance. Is our best chance of getting something from this game and come out and look to get us, and gives us that chance. We saw it in Europe, playing on the counter-attack. We just don't get to play like that in the Premier League anymore, because nobody attacks us. Everyone comes in, sits deep, gets men behind the ball and gives us the ball and goes, go on, figure this out. I really hope Bayern Munich have that a little bit of arrogance. And they should have arrogance, because they're a phenomenal team.
Well, if they do, then they've been exposed in the last few weeks. They're exposed against, you can go all the way back to Dusseldorf against 3-3. They're exposed by Augsburg last week, by Leverkusen did it a couple of weeks ago, tore them apart 3-1. And that's because they didn't have a plan B to sit back and frustrate. They just wanted to attack. And on a team that's better in a transition and then they just get picked off at the moment. So that's maybe Liverpool's plus point, that they're faster in transition.
Absolutely. I looked at Lewandowski's stat. I wish I hadn't.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't make good reading.
25 goals, 11 assists, and 30 all comps, which is like, okay, yeah, 8-6 in the Champions League. But this
is the top scorer in the group stages as well.
No, he's having a bad season in Germany, in inverted commas. So
it's like 30.
What did they want from him?
More, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, this is again, Jays. This is what it's about, though, isn't it? Again, you know, I'm just excited to see him because this is a true test of this side. It's all well and good coming up against, you know, the lads that you see on a week to week basis. We know Lewandowski's amazing, but I want to see how amazing he is, because if we're amazing, which we think we are, then we should be able to handle him. Now again, not having Van Dijk does still leave me with a tingling fear there somewhat. Like, but no, this is the point of the Champions League. When you see Arsenal playing against whoever, Bate Borisov, was it?
Yeah.
Nah, mate. Not for me.
That's not exciting.
Exactly.
Like, that's not fun.
Exactly.
This is fun. Yeah. This is like fantasy stuff, do you know what I mean? You don't get to see your team go against players like Lewandowski all the time. You hear him always being talked about because of how good he is and the fact he bags in goals every week. But you don't get to see how your team does against a player like that. And it's good to see, it's good that we're going to see how our team reacts to a team like Bayern Munich, and that's why I can't wait for it, and that's why this is better, in my opinion anyway, than any other game that we could have got. Obviously, you can get, like, you know, this Real Madrid, this Barcelona,
sure,
but you don't want a small team, you don't, or at least I don't anyway.
I did. I always do.
And that's fair enough.
I agree. Passive least resistance, I'm always.
And you know what, there is
going
to be people that do want smaller teams, and that's absolutely understandable, but for me, I like the fantasy of it, and I love seeing us go against the best players.
We've missed these players, you know, being at the Champions League for 3 or 4 years and seeing Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo, we've missed the opportunity to see these lads live consistently because we weren't in the competition. Okay. So that's what it's about for me as well. Yeah. You know, as much as I'd rather see them in the final only, you know, we've not seen Lewandowski with my own two eyes.
No, the thing is, it's all about the challenge. It's about the experience. You know, the lads have got the experience of going to the Champions League, but I want Trent Alexander-Arnold coming up against everyone. I want him to play all the best players in the world because he's young enough that he's only going to get better for the experience. Even if he has a bad time at times for it, same with the defence, the goal, all these things, it caused you to raise your level. And, you know, no disrespect to the Portos and whatever of this world, like, but there are levels to this stuff. There's a reason why Porto, you know, similar to us in 2005, to be fair, there's a reason why them winning the European Cup under Jose Mourinho was such a, like, an earth-shattering thing. Yeah. It's because it's not meant to happen. You know, there's been a European elite for too long, and if we want to crack back into it, then, you know, this is, we talked about a bit last season, how there's a bit of a change in the guard coming in Europe. Real Madrid are not what they once were. Bayern Munich not what they once were. Everyone fears us. Juventus have got another, maybe this season, before they're going to have to start having a major rethink and presumably building their entire team around Aaron Ramsey at the price they're paying for him. So, no, we're young, hungry, fast, dynamic, and we've got loads of players who are going to be not only as good next season, but loads better. So,
this is the type of game where it's one of those that you can look back at in 5-10 years and be like, oh, do you remember that game when Trent had Lewandowski in his back pocket all game and he was like an upcomer?
Yeah.
It's one of those games. You don't have them against teams like Porto, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, completely agree with that. We're going to come on to preferred 11s in a moment. Before we do, a little break. I was lucky enough to speak to Bild journalist Kai about Bayern Munich this week. Have a little listen.
How are Bayern Munich? Because obviously they've been so dominant.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm no great follower of the Bundesliga, but you can see, and you've said it yourself, they're just champions all the time. You know, pretty much going back to when Klopp actually broke a little bit of that of that hold.
Yeah.
The general outside feeling is that this is a Bayern Munich side, though, that might be a little bit on the wane. It might be on the way down. It's starting to reach the limit of its powers. Is that, would you say that's true?
That's absolutely true. You can see that this year. I think they've been just relying on their strength for too long, because they were dominating the Bundesliga for 6 or 7 years with a team that Pep Guardiola built and that lasted for quite a while, and they completely missed the chance to build a new team, because with the dominant players like Robben and Ribéry dominating the team, they never really found someone to replace them in the long run. So they're now still relying on these players that are injury prone, that are maybe past the peak of their career. And well, this might be the lucky situation where a team that was built together much more clever, with a new coach who's got a fantastic idea, might become champion for the first time in 7 years, 8 years now.
There you go. Get on the full version there on theremmantv.com. Sign up. It's free for the first month, and it's just £5 a month thereafter. We've got all your build-up covered, and we've got all your post-match covered and everything in between as well.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Preferred 11s. Shock. Everyone's gone for the same preferred 11.
Second time this season?
You know what we should have done? We should have just done preferred bench and seen if we had any variation whatsoever on this. But then again, you can have that many subs. It's everyone else, isn't it? Chris Williams, I'll talk you through it because you are the real guest here today. With the greatest respect to James, you're in a bit more regular.
It's all right.
You've got Alisson, Trent, Matip, Fabinho, Robbo, Hendo, Gini, Keita, Salah, Firmino, Mane, 4-3-3. The only question, and we all did the same thing, by the way, Fabinho just straight swap in for Van Dijk as the left side of centre-half in this one?
Yeah, I think it is. Because you'd expect Matip to play on the right side next to Trent where he knows or where he'll have trained to. And it's who's going to take the Van Dijk role, and it's either going to be Fabinho or Henderson, isn't it? So it depends. As you said earlier, you're taking something out of that midfield if you think back to the game against Red Star Belgrade at home. Mm-hmm. But that's where Fabinho really came out of his shell and introduced himself as the player that Liverpool paid all the money for. Maybe Henderson and him swap, but on the whole, I'd probably think that he put Jordan Henderson in a role where he was most familiar with, because, I mean, God forbid he makes a mistake, he would be hounded, not only by commentators, but across the internet.
I don't think that would make Henderson blink, if I'm honest, which I think is a testament to his character. But I agree, it's a possibility. It's the least likely of the possibilities. And I guess on the balance of strength, if there was some sort of like percentage shot, which I'm sure Football Manager would do for us if we could be asked, you to take Fabinho out of midfield would lower the level of midfield, but not as much as it lowers the. He's just a better centre half than Henderson.
He's just taller. Yeah. You know, Lewandowski's a great header of the ball, probably one of the best in world football. So having a taller lad in there is probably sound for
me. And if he's going to be, you're looking for him to be composed.
He's played that role twice as well. You know, remember, I know Dejan got injured in the fourth minute against Wolves, but Fabinho started on the left hand side with Dejan in the side. You know what I mean? So I imagine he'll start on the left-hand side with Matip in there as well. So for me, you know, he played there a couple of times. He's good on the ball. He's comfortable. We'd lose something in Virgil's passing as well, I think, in this game. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we're all talking about Virgil in a defensive sense, but Fabinho's got a great range of passing, as has Jordan. But I just feel like he's going to come out and meet the ball a lot more, a bit more like Virgil van Dijk than Jordan Henderson, who might just sit off a little bit more. And when you've got, in my opinion, quite a passive defender like Joel Matip alongside him, you want a bit more of an aggressive front foot defender alongside him
in Fabinho.
Yeah, that's my one concern about this. This is a pairing, though, is I think they're both... I mean, it's not a concern with Van Dijk because he's just perfect, isn't he? He's a perfect human being. Lovren's a big miss for this game for me, James. You know, as much as people can criticise him, and people always will, and he's not above criticism because he does have so many. He does have the occasional rick in him, of course. But I feel like he thrives on this. You know, being the hero centre half, and as Chris said, Matip is one of them. I like Matip, and I think if you're charged with having possession of the football, I think Matip's a perfectly good centre half to have in that situation. But I like Dejan's aggression. I like the fact that he just loves the challenge. He loves getting up for the big headers. That responsibility is actually going to have to fall on Fabinho, I think, as Chris says, to be the guy who is the angry guy, the guy who's throwing his body on the line.
Yeah, Lovren's one of them. He'll just kick it in the face as long as he gets the ball back. You know what I mean? He really doesn't care. He just wants to get that ball away and get our team on the attack. Fabinho and Matip, more dynamic defenders, you know, like to keep hold of the ball and pass. And if that's the approach that we're going to take, then that's fine. We've got the perfect pair in there.
Yeah.
But Lovren, you know, like Chris said before about Lewandowski being so good with his headers, Lovren would really at least challenge him and try and match him for every header that he tries to get. Because that's just the type of defender Lovren is.
I think Lovren's got two aims whenever he goes into a game of football. One is, you know, to be aggressive, and the other is to cut his head in some way so he can wear a band over it. That's the type of defender that he is. He wants blood pouring out of his. That's what Lovren wants when he takes to the field. He wants to be that hero who'll put his head on the line.
And if his Instagram's to be believed, he wants to just boot his brother in the stomach on beach holidays like you're
that
here.
That was a naughty kick, that though.
It was
very, very painful.
Yeah, they just took his brother out.
Follow him on Instagram.
I've seen it now.
No, it's just crazy. It's when he's on his holiday over the summer and he's like, challenges his brother, just two of them, in shorts, kicking a footy round, and his brother comes at him and he basically just kicks him in the... Oh, it's brilliant. I would highly recommend it. It is naughty. No Lovren ultimately. Trent being back, Chris, is huge. Potentially big. Now, again, this is an issue that shouldn't be underestimated. He's not played. You know, he came on the other week off the bench at the end and looked very bright.
He's
been in training. Yeah, twice. You know, he had very, very good opportunities in and around the box. It's a big game for him to come back into, though, you know, having not played a competitive footy really for a month.
We've all seen interviews with Trent over the last 2 years, and these are the type of challenges that he relishes. You know, Man United away. I mean, you know, his first big game in the Premier League, and it's Man United away. So this is the type of game that he lives for. This is the type of game that he puts that shirt on to appear in. And I think Trent will be sound in this game. I think, obviously, I think he's the best right-back at the club full stop when everybody's fit. He's a much better fit at right-back than James Milner. James Milner's actually interesting for me is because none of us have put him into the side. Mm. You know, and I think what we've seen in the Champions League this season is that James Milner's been playing in the middle of the park. You know, so, you know, we've all gone Henderson, Gini Wijnaldum, Naby Keita. But could it be, as it's tended to be, Henderson, Gini Wijnaldum and James Milner?
Yeah, it's a possibility. I think the big hope, and I wonder, Chris, whether Klopp's actually referenced playing Keita into form in the last couple of weeks and whether he's just had this on his mind, because that's what's been lacking. You know, 4-3-3, we've played largely in the Champions League, particularly the way from when we've looked terrible at times playing it. Everyone's referenced not having bought that Oxlade-Chamberlain replacement or missing Oxlade-Chamberlain and Naby Keita, yada, yada, yada. There's a weight of responsibility on that midfield to be the driving link between themselves and the front three. And Keita's just feels like it might not be this game where he announces himself kind of thing, but it feels far more likely than maybe it did 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, and obviously he's had injuries throughout. I mean, you think all the way back to summer when he hurt his neck sleeping on a plane and things haven't gone right for him.
Yeah.
He'd been taken off after getting kicked in the hip on a game, but he's played against United, he played well. Last game against Bournemouth, you know, he'd been playing very well. Even in the games he's played and he hasn't featured in so much, he's had maybe a good 15, 20 minutes. And you're right, it's not the player that we thought we were going to get, but different players adapt. Not everyone's going to be Mohamed Salah and come in and, you know, and change the course of a football club inside of 12 months. But I've got the feeling that if he plays this in this first leg, He's at home. It's familiar surrounding for him. He's playing a familiar opponent who we got the better of at times. Okay, he's been sent off against them. Probably forget about that bit. but it's a similar high-level football that he can play. And I hope for his own confidence sake that he can announce him in this game, because he looks like a player that's playing on confidence. And if he's low on it, he's not having a particularly good game. I don't think it helps sometimes from the groans you get around the ground if he makes a mistake. And I know Klopp is often referencing that. And you can even see him turn around at times and look at the main stand when there's a groan or two. But I'm hoping this game is the one that where Naby Keita comes into his four, because he could, if he can deliver anything he did like in his first season at RB Leipzig, we'll all be thrilled.
Yeah. And the alternative to that, Chris, is that with them knowing him and knowing the threat he brings, it could actually be one of those things that opens the pathway for Gini Wijnaldum to have another one of those performances.
It could do. Like, but I don't think knowing Keita is a particularly good thing. It's just knowing to expect the unexpected. I mean, how are you supposed to deal with that? You think sometimes he's going to go right and he turns left, or he'll turn left three times to turn right. I mean, I never know what Naby Keita is going to do when he picks the ball up, and I like that he's an enigma on the football field. But you're right. I mean, they know that Naby Keita is a great player, that they had to deal with him when he was at Leipzig. Maybe it does free up Gini Wijnaldum. And we saw, you know, against Bournemouth that four times Gini Wijnaldum picked the ball up in their box during that game. You know, he can be that box-to-box midfielder that we probably see a little bit more for Holland in the attacking sense than we've seen for Liverpool this season. But these are lads who I think, you know, I think Naby Keita is on the cusp of starting a run of form where we'll look at him and go, that's why we paid the money. Gini Wijnaldum's been playing well all season. It wouldn't surprise me if he is a difference maker in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay then, we're going to come towards an end there. Chris Williams, what's your score prediction for this one?
3-2.
Ooh, go ahead.
but then the same in the Allianz as well. I think we're going to go the whole way in this fixture. Okay. We're going to go all the way to spot kicks.
Ooh.
Oh, Chris is going dangerous. Oh, that's crazy.
Go on, that's where you go.
2-0.
Okay,
cool. 2-1, Liverpool, but we go behind.
Oh, wow. Okay. 4-0, Liverpool.
Yes.
Can I have some of what he's
having? Whatever, why not? Why not? There's no basis.
I think that's your most guess score prediction this season.
5-0 then, sounds.
I think that's your second most guess.
6-1.
Twice you've done that.
There'll be something where. No, I think they'll score. But I do feel like if we.
For us in a 4-0.
Yeah, why not? I do think they'll get an away goal, which is what's going to make it interesting. I just feel like we're ready to do something. Now, don't get me wrong. If I had a choice between it being this game or United, I'd rather us go out and absolutely wipe the floor with Man United at Old Trafford, of course. Like, but we're really good. I don't see why I should have to choose at this point. So let's just I choose for us to batter. You know, the Manchester United of Germany and the Bayern Munich of England in the next.
Well, Chris has decided we're having pens. Nice one. That's bloody hell, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, have
you decided what end we're going to be kicking at in the second leg yet?
No, not yet.
No. But pens against Liverpool, the penalty kings against a German team is fascinating. It's going to be like 50-all in pens, isn't it, at some point? Great, let us know your score prediction in the comments below and your preferred 11s as well. Make sure you get over to redmentv.com and sign up, as I say, for the Newsroom podcast, the podcast that I did with Bill, and a whole host of other amazing things as well. Other than that, thank you very much, gents. It's been an absolute pleasure. Cannot wait for this game. I hope the same goes for you too. If you go in the game, we'll see you there. If not, we'll see you soon. Ta-da.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too.
Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.